I don't think he says it is partial.
He makes a claim, any creature that is born blind, among animals, not among human beings. Most animals, when they're born, they can see right away. But any animal that is born blind, after it develops sight, it can see at night, has night vision. Is that true? Dogs and cats, he claims, have night vision.
Cats, for sure.
And they think dogs as well. Any animal that is blind at the time of birth, Hashem compensates. You were born in a state of tsar, blind, when you'll one day see, and I'll give you double vision, you'll see even at night. That's what he says. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Let me try to find. Now he has a very long discussion on the concept of a ger. In this week's parasha, it says the ger lo soneh v'lo silchotzenu ki gedim hayisem bi'eretz Mitzrayim. Where does the word ger come from? The word ger. He quotes Rabbeinu Bachya, different ways to pronounce it. Ger comes from the word gargir. What's gargir? Gargir is a berry, a little berry at the edge of a branch, and refers to the idea that a ger is all alone. A ger is all alone. A ger has abandoned his nation. He's come to Klal Yisrael. He's all alone. He's just like the little berry that is hanging on at the end of a branch, end of a leaf. And that is why the Torah chose the word ger to describe a convert. Just like a berry that's at the edge of a branch, which is called in Hebrew a gargir, that's what a ger is. And a ger is also isolated. You have to be very careful not to cause him any pain. Now he has over here an amazing Medrash Rabbah, says the following, why is it that we find all, okay, this is the Medrash you've heard of, Medrash Rabbah Perek Nun Gimel, Tess. All Gerim come from children that were nursed by Sarah Imenu. I mean, you've heard this Medrash. Sarah Imenu, Hashem, people were questioning if Yitzhak was really the child of Sarah. Because Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth. People said, how could it possibly be that a woman 90 years old have a child? So Hashem made a miracle that she was able to nurse. And all of the women of the community of the world came to see, and Sarah nursed their children. Any child that was nursed by Sarah, one of their descendants at some point in time in history decided to become a convert. The koyach hashpa, kedusha, that came from Sarah nursing these non-Jewish children had an effect hundreds, if not thousands, of years later that they became converts. That's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Nun Gimel, Tes. Now there's another very strange Medrash. It says that if a husband, we know in Chazal they have significance that the machshava a couple, a husband and wife have at the time when they are involved in marital relations, has a very great effect on the child that is born. And this Medrash says, I have to quote you the Medrash, find where I saw this, I'm just quoting it from memory, and it will come to me in a moment. He says that if a non-Jewish couple are having marital relations, and one of them is thinking about a Jew, it will come that child will one day convert. People always wonder, where does it happen that the people decide out of the blue, I want to convert? There's a sheresh. He brings such a thing, such an amazing, amazing concept. Here it is. This is the Medrash Talpiyos. Here it is. Hevi b'shem emek hamelech, shem goya mehar heres, b'yehudi be'es zivuga, imba'ala ha'orel, yiskayer havlat ha'nol men. And then he goes on to something very scary. That if a Jewish couple, have Mahara after a non-Jewish person, that chas v'shalom could cause that the child that will be born can go off the derech rachmana litzlan. So it's a two-way street. The Medrash Talpiyos.
Well, this goes back to Yaakov and his methods of breeding sheep.
Right. They looked at the peckles that caused them to have the income. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Now, here he makes a very interesting point. We don't find, I don't know the statistics, maybe you can Google it, that we there find very few Gerim from Yishmael. Very few Arabs convert. Is that correct? Most converts in this world have come from Esau. Very few converts have come from Yishmael. Why is that so? So he says very simply, because Yishmael was born to Avraham Avinu before he had a bris milah. Avraham was not yet a convert himself. Avraham was still in the geder of Ben Noach. He was an Orel. He was not. He was not a full fledged Jew. Therefore, the kedusha potential that lies in Yishmael is limited, whereas Yitzchak was already a full fledged Jew. Yitzchak was born to Avraham after Avraham converted. Now, from Yitzchak comes Esav and Yaakov. They both come from Yitzchak. They both, their source comes from a holy source. Therefore, it's not a surprise that even people, like even members from descendants of Esav would want to convert, because who is Esav? They are descendants from Esav, and Esav was a descendant from Yitzchak, who has Kedusha relative to Yishmael, which came from a source which has less Kedusha. And that explains why we don't find many converts from Yishmael, but we find all of the converts are coming primarily from Esav, which also means that we don't find Amos from Umas Olam. I don't know, you have to do a study. You go see how many, all of the converts, they are coming from Esav. They're not coming from the Umas Olam either, because they do not have a Sherish of Kedusha like that is found by Esav. Another reason he gives, because Esav was together with Yaakov in the womb of Rivka. So Esav, his early, the start of Esav was under the influence of Yaakov, whereas Yishmael had no one to learn from in his early days. Yishmael was born from Hagar. His Kedusha was limited. Hagar, there was no Kedusha, and there was no partner in the womb of Hagar to teach him. Whereas Esav was together with Yaakov in the womb of Rivka. Okay, let's go on to he has a very halachic dilemma. Are you allowed to be makabel a ger from a malik? He gets into halmod. There's a machlokes in midrashim chazal. There's one chazal that says that we're not makabel a ger from a malik. That's one of the reasons why when David heard that Shaul was killed, so who told David that Shaul was killed in Amaleki? So it says that David went and he killed the Amaleki on the spot. Why did David kill the Amaleki on the spot? Because David said that maybe someone good will come from this Amaleki. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he killed the Yishmitri, Vayif and Kovako Vayar Kienish. And what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked at Soif Kol Hadaros, if any good would come from this person. Moshe saw nothing good would come from this person, so he killed him on the spot. So what about David? How was David allowed to kill this servant that was an Amaleki that informed him that Shaul had been killed? Why? Maybe one day something good will come from this Amaleki. So David said, the halacha is, you're not mekabel gerim from the nation of Amalek. They're hated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's one chazal. On the other hand, the other mamar chazal would say that, no, you are mekabel gerim from Amalek. He gets now into the halacha kshayla, what about Germany? Nazi Germany. Are you mekabel gerim? According to chazal, so he basically concludes that you are mekabel. He goes to different sources, that since Bizman HaZeh Sanhedrin came and was mebabel kulumos, there's no way you can be certain anyone today is a pure Amaleki. All the nations have been confused, been mixed up, even though they have the bad midos of Amalek. There's no such thing. Correct. Okay, then let's go to another idea. He has a discussion, a very interesting story. There was a person that was practicing to become a Jew for many years. He was a ger. He was converted. He was learning all the halachas. And then it came time, the Rabbanim gave the okay, he knew enough to convert, he knew enough Torah, and he had a bris milah. And we know that you're not a complete convert until you go through a two-step process, bris milah plus tefillah b'mikvah. He did not yet have a chance to go to the mikvah. The mikvah was broken, or there was no mikvah in the community, but he had a bris milah. And now it was Shabbos. So the dayan of the city said to him, you are mol v'loy toval. You're still considered to be a full-fledged goy, and therefore a goy sheshavas is chayiv misa. And the dayan forced him to be mechal Shabbos. This convert who was studying for years to become a Jew was traumatized. Here I am, the very first Shabbos. I've undergone a bris milah. I've had a bris milah. How can you now go and make me be mechal Shabbos? So he says, but you didn't have tefillah. If you don't have tefillah, you're not considered to be a full-fledged Jew. So he forced him. So there was a big, this appears to have been a very famous story where there was a big debate if this dayan was correct. what status does a convert have in between the moment of Mila and Tzvila is with regard to observing Shabbos. So most of the poskim of this generation passed and he was wrong, that he's allowed. Such a Jew that had Mila, did not have Tzvila, is not mechuyev to keep Shabbos, but is not in the category of a goy to Shabbos, is chayev Misa. So they passed that he really was allowed to observe Shabbos. Now, very interesting thing. Here he talks about a ger, interesting halachic shaila, a ger, a woman, a goya. That's megayer, and she was pyrus nida before. Let's say a day before she went through the conversion process. She was a nida. She had a period, and now she went had a tzila, the kabbal tamitzos. Does she have to wait zayin nikiyim? Does she have to go through the process of nida? No. Gershon Eskayer, Kekotan Shinola Dami, Halachal Mashal, Psakhim Chazonish, a woman, a non Jewish woman, even though she was a Nida, that's it, fresh start. The moment she goes to Mikvah, it's as if she was born anew, and she's Mutter, and if she's married to a Jewish man, she's Mutter Labala, she does not need to observe to go to Mikvah, she does not have the status of a Nida. It's an amazing halacha.
That's meaning if she didn't have, if it stopped.
Right, it stopped. Let's say it stopped, but there was no Zayin Nikiyim.
Right.
And she's in the middle of a cycle to all the halachas. So it's very interesting. You have a situation where she's probably, a woman goes to mikvah, oh, Shiloh, this Shiloh, that Shiloh was the mikvah good, now I'm making good. Here you have a situation where the woman couldn't be better. She became a Jew, a Jewess. She had a Kabbalah mitzvah. She's 100% a full-fledged Jew, and she's Tahar, and she has not yet had the first time when she becomes a Nida Midin. So it's 100% okay. Now he takes this even further. He gives other examples. It's an incredible chiddush. Again, this concept of Hashem does not punish a person for the first 20 years of his life. You're not a bar oinshin. So he brings down that this halach applies to a ger as well. You can have a 60-year-old ger. First converts when he's 60 years old. He's not a bar oinshin for the first 20 years of his life. Ger, sheniskayer, kikoton, shenoy ladon. Isn't that an amazing halacha? That's right. Well, he's not responsible. He's not responsible. Ger, sheniskayer, kikoton, shenoy ladon. No, the Chazon Ish does not say. He quotes this from the Shash Lachmeit Shailos Hatshuvas Lachmeit Toida, written by Rav Yeshayu Basman in the year Basman in the year Tof Lamed Gimel. He quotes this halacha Gerish Niskar Kekunshin Oladami, and then he goes on to say the bigger chiddush. Listen to this. This is a tremendous chiddush. A chosan. Let's say a guy gets married when he's 60 years old.
Yes.
So it says. Yeah. So he says. Let me read what it says. It's shocking. This is shocking.
Only your first.
Chiddush nifla. Everything in the safe is a nifla. Every time I read that, I laugh. The whole say, everything he writes is chiddush nifla. Thick safer. He repeats this word 1,000 times. Hadin lechosan b'yom chuposa. Shem chazal shechosan b'yom chuposa moichlin loy kol avaynoisav nimsa shechosan b'yom chuposa hu ki katan shenil adami hachinami shenoistim lo revach min hashamayim eshem shana mizman hanesun v'rak achar eshem shana ma'anishin lo min hashamayim. Every chosan, you imagine
this is terrible. This is going to push the shidduch crisis even later.
You get a new slate. You get a new slate. Okay, a few more short things. We have here in this week's parashah the term called almana v'yosom lo san. What does it mean, almana? So he says almana comes from the word mone, 100. Abasula gets 200 zuz in Ruxuva, and almana gets 100 zuz. So therefore it comes to almana. Others learn just the opposite. Al-mone, -100. You have taken the exertion of the word al. Al means to deduct. Deduct 100. Instead of getting 200, you only get 100. A third interpretation means mone, mean version of mon. Last week's parsha. Two weeks ago, the parsha Samon. What is mon? Mon means mozon. Achonas, preparation of food. A wife prepares the food for the husband. A husband works in order that he can have food. A man that does not have a wife or a wife does not have a husband is called either an almoin or almana. Both have the idea almon. They don't have who to work for. a husband that does not have a wife, he's an alman. I don't have who to earn a parnasa to give mizonos for. A husband's derech of life is, I work to provide mizonos for my wife. I don't have a wife. I am now in a state of alman. A woman who does not have who to prepare dinner for, she's also the same category. She's called alman, or almana. She does not have through whom to prepare mizonos for. He brings down, we're running out of time, he brings down from the Abar Benel. How many parashas are we going to read this parasha? So the Abar Benel says that in the Chumash Shemos, there are 12 sidros. Problem is, you take out a Chumash, you only find 11 in Chumash Shemos. So the Abar Benel, so he says that the answer to the Abar Benel must be like when it says in Sefer HaChinuch and Abinu Bachya, that says that originally, and I'm talking about Ashkenazi, I'm talking about in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael, where they led the Torah three times every 3 years, where they read the Torah once a year, that Parshas Beshalach was two Parshios. From the beginning of the Parsha until in Kesef Talve Esami. In Kesef Talve Esami was a new Parsha, which means a teeny Parsha. There are two teeny Parshios, and from the fact that the Abar Benel says that in Parshas Mishpatim there are, in Parshas Chumash Shemos, there are 12 Parshios, and not when we have 11, we have to assume that the Abar Benel also, according to the way they read the Torah, the Parshas Mishpatim was originally broken up into two Parshios from the beginning until in Kesef Talve Asami, and from Mukes Talas Ami to the end. I guess the halacha is so complicated. You know, the halachas, the rashis are massive. You go to the beginning of the parasha, you're going through the whole Masechta, Bava Kamba, Bava Metzira, Bava Basra, you're going through a ton of halachas. I guess it's interesting, always, how do you view a parasha? Why do they make a parasha this long, that long? Does it have to do with the content? Does it have to do with the difficulty in understanding what the psukim mean? Like some parashios, you know, the psukim, parashios matos mase, the masos. So the masos, you can say there's not much going on. It's traditional mikra. There are very few rashis, if any. So just one thing. But you come to parashios mishpatim, the first psukim until Kesef Talmud, it's packed. The concentration of halach is so intense, it's much more than matos and mase. So that l'chor was the thinking of Chazal in the early years, and why the chinuch, and why Rabbeinu Bachya, and why the Abar Benel used to consider these parshios as two, and the way that it was broken up among the year was different. The only question I wonder is, what was the haftorah? What then did they learn for the haftorah for the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, and what did they learn when they learned in Kesef Talve Es Ami?
It may be two parshios, because they may have always learned them together.
Maybe in the year where they had to, in the years where they had no choice, they had it right. Because how many parashas do we have in the Torah? 54. And we have an average of 50 weeks in a year. So we always have to compensate, bring things together. And that's also a little problematic because we have a tradition from the Zohar, there are Gan parashios, 53 parashios. Okay, let me just go very quickly. He has a very beautiful section on dogs. I really should have done this. A whole beautiful on a Lakelev Tashlichun Oso. I'll just tell you very quickly an interesting story he brings down about. There was a certain cemetery. This is the son of the Shla, Rav Shefzel, the famous person. It seems that this can be seen today. The Matzeva of Shefzel is available today wherever it is. And not far from his Matzeva, there's a Matzeva for a dog. They buried a dog in the Beis HaChaim of the Jews. Oh, he had to have it also. He has also a matzeva for the bit they have it today. There was a matzeva, there was a fish. The fish said, Shema Yisrael. Frankfurt, there's a matzeva. And this fish, he saw the matzeva. This fish went and it said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. And therefore they were so frightened, they buried it in this Beis HaKvaris with the matzeva. There's also a matzeva of a dog. What was the maisa? The maisa was HaKvaris HaToif. We learned this expression, Yosef HaKvaris to a dog. Story was that there was a snake, and the snake injected poison into this large container of milk, and no one saw this other than the dog. And when the people came back from work, and they didn't know, they were about to use the milk to drink, the dog went crazy and started barking and basically trying to prevent the people from drinking the milk. And the people thought the dog went crazy, and they didn't listen. They were about to drink the milk, so the dog went and committed suicide. The dog, to prevent the people, it went to the milk and it drank the milk. And right after it drank the milk, the dog died. And then they realized that the dog was trying to warn them that there's poison in the milk, don't drink the milk. And when they saw that they were not getting the signal, the dog had no choice, it felt, it drank the milk itself to show, I'll die, you'll see that I'll die, and that way I'll save you. So out of HaKaris HaToy for the dog, LaKelef Tashlicha Noso, they buried the dog in the base of HaKvaris, they went to the son of the Shlah. The Shlah wasn't living anymore, his son was alive, I guess he was the Rav, and he was Nishtayim from the Maisa, and he said, HaKaris HaToy, LaKelef Tashlicha Noso, you have to give the dog a Shefa, they buried the dog in the Beis HaKfaris with a matseva. In the Beis HaMikdash, the fire of the Bayis Sheni in the set was like a dog. The tzur in the Bayis Rishon was the tzur of a lion, and the Bayis Sheni had the tzur of a dog. Why? Why is that so? So the Bayis Rishon was built by Shlomo. Shlomo Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is called Gor Ar Yehuda. The Bayis Sheni, who built the Bayis Sheni? Who paid the bill? Who paid the bill for the Bayis Sheni? Koresh. Koresh. What does Koresh mean in English? Koresh, the Persian word for kelef. Really? Koresh means a dog. Why was Koresh called a dog? There's a legend. The legend is that the father or the grandfather of Koresh had only one daughter. And this daughter was in love with an officer. And the father did not like the sheikh, and he warned his daughter, "Don't you dare stay away from him." Of course, she didn't listen. She married, she eloped, and they had a baby, they had a child. And when the father found out, he went off the wall. He had the soldier, the tsar, executed, and the baby, he didn't want it. He separated the daughter from the baby, and he sent the baby out, he gave it to one of his soldiers, bring the baby out to the forest. They brought the baby out to the forest, just abandoned the baby there, and there was a dog. And there was a dog, and the dog nursed the baby, and it was raised. That's the legend. The legend was that this dog raised this infant somehow, some way, I don't know. And this person became a para adam, obviously had no discipline, no education, or nothing. He became a bandit, became a meshugana, and he collected a whole bunch of bandits. And one day he went to war against his grandfather. He didn't even know he was his grandfather. He went to war against the king of Paras. At that point in time, it was a nothing nation. It wasn't the world power. And he conquered the nation. He killed his own grandfather. And then somehow people figured out, they put two and two together, they realized what happened, and they called him the dog. They called him Koresh in recognition that this person only survived because a dog raised him. That's why he's called Koresh, which seems what it says here, and that's why the Bayis Sheni was built. The Bayis Sheni was built by Koresh, and that's why it's HaKaris HaTov that he built the Beis HaMikdash. The Eish Ben HaShemayim was in the tzura of a dog. Okay, why do you give a dog? Bayis Sheni, it says there was some degree, wasn't the same degree with Bayis Rishon, there was something. And whatever that was, it was a tzura dog. Why do you only give a treifa to a dog? Why don't you give a nevela? Nevela, there's no such halacha. You're supposed to be makar tov to a dog by giving a dog a treifas. You don't give if an animal dies by itself, you don't give it to a dog. Why not? The answer is a dog, we don't realize, has a very great sensitivity to spiritual matters, to Malach HaMavis. We don't see it. A dog has a sixth sense. A Chazal say, if Malach HaMavis be'ir, the dogs bark. If Elio's be'ir, the dogs are laughing. The dogs have a sense of spirituality. An animal that dies through a sheichet, did not die through the Malach HaMavis. It died through a Jew. A Jew went and did a Ma'aseh Shechita. It just happens to be, when they did a Bedikah, it was not kosher. So it was not nifkam by the Malach HaMavis, by the Satan. Whereas a dog, an animal that dies naturally, a nevela means it died a natural death. It died old age. It died naturally. Who killed the animal when it died naturally? The Malach HaMavis. It's mos. A dog does not like the Malach HaMavis. There's no halach of giving a nevela to a dog. A nevela you give to a nachri, you sell to a nachri. Only thing you give to a dog is a treifa, because a treifa, there was no Malach HaMavis. No Malach HaMavis, it was not nifkam. One quick story, there was a Mayis HaShahaya, where there was a sheichet, and the sheichet deceived. He deceived all the people in the city, and he sold them treifas. He sold them treifas, and then the sheichet died. He died on Shabbos. He died in some type of horrible accident, and there were dogs licking his blood. They came to the Rav and they said, "It's a terrible bzayin. This person, he died, and there's a lot of blood, and there are dogs licking the blood. Are we allowed to move him and move the person's muksa? Are we allowed to move the person, take him away from the dog?" So the Rav said, "No, you're not. You know why the dogs are licking his blood? Because he denied all the dogs meat, because this person they did shlita and they were treifas, and if it was a treifa, who gets the meat? Like kelev tashlichen also, he denied the dogs lunch and dinner and breakfast. The mela, the dogs are now coming to get what they rightfully deserve. They're licking his blood. All right, that's the story. He has a lot more stuff here, but.